Chapter 6 Magician Praff had been all seriousness when he'd mentioned the morgue the evening before. He and Alvy left bright and early and drove into the city, just past a large cemetery, to a very square building that looked like it was made of giant cubes of concrete. Magician Praff must have mail-birded or telegrammed ahead, because the mortician was expecting them. "This is rather unorthodox, but we do have a body donated to science, and the medical students at Oxford didn't seem much interested in the hands." He led them down a staircase to a room lit with pyre lights, as opposed to gaffer ones. Most pyre lights were still encased in glass, but the glass didn't have any magical properties. Alvy assumed the morgue used them to allay the chill. The basement was terribly cold. "If you'll stay with me and answer my questions," Magician Praff said, "I don't think I'll do any damage." The mortician gave Alvy and Magician Praff each a pair of gloves and went to a sort of chest in the wall. He opened it and rolled out a pallet upon which a body rested beneath a white sheet. Alvy's stomach tightened a little. She'd seen dead bodies before, of course. She'd been to 2 funerals. But while it was tempting to take this opportunity to study anatomy unhindered, it felt a little unnatural to her, and the smell wasn't pleasant. She watched as the mortician uncovered only a pale left hand, explaining how the rigor mortis had subsided. He talked about the working of the joints in the fingers and wrist, as Magician Praff picked up the limb and worked it this way and that, pressing his hands into the knuckles in a way that looked painful, thus the requirement for a deceased specimen. When he finished, he asked, "Do you want to see Alvy?" To which she answered, "I think the skeleton back home will be sufficient for me, sir." Gloves off, Magician Praff wrote several notes and assaulted the mortician with a dozen questions. After that, they were ready to go. "Fred," Magician Praff said to the chauffeur once he and Alvy got inside the automobile, "would you stop by the warehouse? I need to pick up a few things before heading home." Fred nodded and turned the automobile about. "Warehouse?" Alvy asked. "The West London Polymer Depository. It houses all the textiles a polymaker should need for his or her experiments." He chuckled. "I only half know what I'm doing, I admit. I want to make sure I have a wide range of plastics to work with to best imitate those knuckles. And it's a good place for an apprentice to visit. At least 2 future lessons will be held there. They added a new wing a couple of years ago, so the building has got quite large." "Really? Are there many depositories for polymakers?" "No, unfortunately. But West London will ship." It was about 30 minutes to the depository. The place wasn't as large as Alvy had imagined. It had a brick front with several windows. Perhaps it had been a factory once. And from its back stretched a much newer-looking wing, with brick that didn't quite match the original. There was even a small paved lot in front of the warehouse for automobile parking, though Fred pulled the automobile up to the doors to minimize their walk. The whole building was open on the inside, clear to the ceiling, where giant smelted fans spun of their own volition to manage the temperature. There were enormous shelves stacked with boxes and pallets and drawers and bags. A simple desk sat just inside the door. Behind it, an overweight man with glasses, not dissimilar from Alvy's, said, "Magician Praff, come in, you're cleared. Want the paperwork for this one?" He nodded toward Alvy. "Not just yet, thank you, Harry." The man nodded to Alvy as she passed. To think, if she stayed in London, she might walk into a place like this and have the workers know her by name. As for the paperwork, she assumed she'd need it if she ever came here without a renowned escort. "The knuckles," Magician Praff said as they approached the first shelf, "will need to allow extension and flexibility." "Condyloid joints," she said. He paused. "Yes, that's what the mortician said. You were listening closely." "I did read that book, sir." He raised an eyebrow. "All of it? The section on hands?" He nodded with a smile. "You're proving to be more and more valuable, Alvy." "It's exciting, sir, to think we could be changing an entire facet of medicine." Magician Praff held his hand up to stop Alvy and said to the space behind her, Hello, Roscoe. Always a pleasure. Alvy spun around to see the man from the train approach, a scowl twisting his lip. He looked as though he'd been caught doing something, eavesdropping. Alvy pressed her lips shut, as if she could trap the words she'd already spoken behind them. This project would stun everyone at the Discovery Convention, if they managed to keep it secret. Had she said too much? Magician Azel gave Alvy a dismissive glance before settling hard eyes on her mentor. Setting your sights for something large, Marion. Just here to show my apprentice the ropes. Always coy. And you are very light on your feet, if I may say so. Alvy's gaze darted between the magicians. The room warmed a few degrees. She glanced up to make sure those magicked fans were still spinning. The magicians were silent as an employee in a blue smock walked by. The moment he stepped out of earshot, Magician Azel jutted his pointer finger toward Magician Prath and muttered, "Your reign is coming to an end. Thought I'd warn you now, so you can prepare. I'm going to turn that convention on its head and make the world forget about Marion Prath. Your uncle's name will only carry you so far." Magician Prath straightened. "If it makes you feel more secure to believe my achievements are merely accolades for Tagus Prath, you are welcome to continue to think so." Magician Azel turned a bright shade of crimson, but his countenance remained stern. "We'll see, Marion." He turned on his heel and marched for the door, barking to an employee to bring his items out to the auto. Alvy watched him go. "What an ordinary fellow," she said. "I certainly hope I never have a rival." Magician Prath sighed. "As do I. Best to keep our voices down in public, just to be sure." He glanced toward a warehouse worker leaning toward them, who, upon being spotted, busied himself arranging boxes on a shelf. "But I can tell Ethel, yes?" He smiled. "Of course, we'll need her cooperation." Her shoulders sagged in relief. "Excellent. Now on with our tour. Over here you'll find vacuum form ready sheets." "But you can't tell anyone." Alvy punctuated the warning with a stiff wag of her finger. She'd nearly burst with anticipation, waiting the 4 days until her next shift at the hospital. Magician Prath had kept her so busy she couldn't so much as steal away early for a visit. Ethel leaned on the elbow of her good arm, staring at Alvy with wide brown eyes, the same color as Bennett's. "You really think it's possible? A magic-fueled arm?" "I hope so. I don't know all there is to know about polymaking, of course, but I know a lot about mechanics and how things work. My papa used to let me tinker in his workshop. If nothing else, it will be an advancement on what's available today." Not that Alvy knew what sort of prosthetic arms were currently available. Magician Prath had assigned himself the task of learning about the competition. Hopefully, he'd bring back samples. Ethel rested back in her bed. Her eyes glistened, but she didn't cry. Alvy's throat tightened. Maybe she shouldn't have said anything. What if she couldn't make the arm the way she wanted to make it? What if by telling Ethel her plans, she was getting her hopes up for nothing? "I think you can do it, Alvy," the injured woman said. A smile touched her lips. "I really do. We don't know each other terribly well, but I see your drive. People with drive do amazing things." Alvy knotted her fingers together. "I hope you're right, Ethel, for both of us. And Magician Prath, of course." Ethel chuckled. "I'll keep him in my prayers. All the help you can get, right?" Footsteps neared the bed, and Alvy turned to see Bennett approaching, this time with a carrier's bag. "Good morning," he said, his grin as bright as his hair. Alvy's heartbeat picked up, and she pressed a hand to the side of her neck, as though Bennett would be able to see the pumping of the artery there. "I'm running an errand for Magician Bailey, and thought I'd swing by. Alvy, nice to see you." She nodded. "I didn't even get lost," he chuckled. "Glad to hear it." "Bennett, you won't believe what Alvy told me," said Ethel. Alvy dropped her hand and whirled on the patient. "I said not anyone. Bennett is part of this. We can't keep him in the dark." Ethel moved to push herself up in bed, only to teeter to the left. She gripped the mattress with her right hand and lifted up, what remained of her left arm. Her countenance fell. I forget sometimes. Alvy felt like a puddle on the floor. I'm sorry. Of course you can tell him. Your family should know. Tell me what? He asked. Ethel's features brightened just a bit as she told Bennett, Alvy, and Magician Praff's plans for the prosthesis in hushed tones. Bennett's lips parted as he listened, and every so often his eyes darted over to Alvy. He really did have pretty eyelashes. Was it strange to think a man's eyelashes pretty? Best not to say anything about them. Really, Alvy? He focused on her. You think you could? We're going to try. I've calloused my eyes reading up on anatomy and plastics animations. Magician Praff was teaching her the basics of animating plastic creations today, something that hadn't been on her original study schedule for another 8 months. Bennett kept staring at her, so she added, I could probably change its color, too, if you want a green arm, or pink, or... What's your favorite color, Ethel? Ethel laughed, and Bennett broke his gaze. Alvy, unsure what to do, took off her glasses and cleaned them on her blouse. Blue, actually. Ethel pushed a lock of hair out of her face. At least that's what Alvy thought her blur was doing. Though I don't think I'd like a blue arm. Alvy pushed her spectacles back over her ears. Might be fun for a party. Are those different? Alvy shifted her focus to Bennett. Huh? Your glasses, he said, then chuckled and rubbed the back of his neck. Are they different from before? I remember at the train station there being, well, having a much stronger prescription. Alvy laughed. Magician Praff gave me plastic lenses that make me look a little less mussed, or bug-eyed. They're much lighter, too. Miss, called a patient from across the aisle, Miss, could I get some water? Yes, coming. She stood and brushed off her slacks. These were new ones, deep maroon that gathered about the ankle, so that if Alvy stood with her feet together, it almost appeared as though she were wearing a skirt. Her mama had sent them through mere delivery, after Alvy tried and failed to find women's slacks locally. I'll keep you updated, she said to Ethel, and turning to Bennett, added, And I warmed up that chair for you. Bennett laughed, and Alvy silently excused herself to wait on the other patients. A couple of weeks later, Alvy found herself amid ruler-shaped stripes of foggy plastic littering the island in the lab. Magician Praff held one between his fingers and said, Soften. Cease. The plastic dropped in his hand. Now, if this were a folding spell, so long as the creation is anthropomorphic, a simple breathe command would be enough to make it come to life. Alvy nodded, but didn't write it down. She wasn't a folder, after all. But you can't just create a frog or a fish with plastic and expect it to move. Plastic is too hard, and softening it would ruin the shape of the creature. The creature has to move in parts, and the parts construct the whole. He grabbed the tip of the droopy plastic. Alvy noted that he'd only softened the center and moved it back and forth. Memory, he said, then releasing the end, added, Breathe. The plastic moved on its own, exactly the way Magician Praff had directed it. Fascinating. Alvy reached forward, and Magician Praff handed her the bobbing plastic. This works best for joints. I'll instruct you on how to form a ball joint tomorrow, but I want you to practice this first. We're jumping around a bit, and I don't want to risk your education for the sake of innovation. Questions? Alvy glanced at her notes. I think I've got it. Focusing on the bending plastic in her hand, she said, Cease, and it stilled, returning to its solemn, droopy form. Excellent. Magician Praff stood and tucked his stool close to the island. Now come this way, and I'll explain how this portion of the lab works. He moved to the counter that boasted a great deal of chemistry equipment. This is for the creation and purification of plastic. It's easier to buy the plastic pre-made, of course, but oftentimes a polymaker needs certain specifications in his or her materials. And it's quicker to do it yourself than to special order it and hope someone else gets it right. Now this, he gestured to a tall beaker, is called a... A knock on the open lab door directed their attention away from the equipment. Mr. Hemsley, the butler, stood erect and proper, with his hands clasped behind his back and his nose turned slightly up. "Beg your pardon for the interruption, Magician Praff, but there is a visitor here for Miss Breckenmarker." "Me?" Alvy asked. "Who on earth would be visiting her?" A chill coursed up her spine as her brain whirled through the possibilities. Had she unknowingly snubbed a buggy driver? Or worse, could it be Magician Avioski? Perhaps she'd erred in sharing her studies with the Coopers, and someone had overheard her at the hospital and reported her. "Alvy?" Magician Praff tapped her shoulder. Alvy looked from her mentor to the butler. "Who is it, exactly?"
"The young man said his name was Bennett Cooper."
Alvy dropped her notepad. She stooped down to snatch it up and bumped her hip into Magician Praff, who in turn hit a flask with his elbow, knocking it over. Alvy blurted a string of apologies as she retreated, tucking her notes under her arm. Bennett Cooper? Here? To see her? Whatever for? Was he upset about her getting his sister's hopes up? Did he wish to see the work for himself? She didn't have anything to show him, not yet. "May I go? I'm sure it will be quick," she said, trying to smooth her hair. Magician Praff nodded. "Yes, go ahead. There's something I wish to examine besides. Hemsley, you'll escort her?"
"Of course."
Mr. Hemsley departed without so much as a glance at Alvy. She hurried after him, pausing only to set her notes in her own workroom. The butler waited at the exit, and with a sniff in the general direction of her wardrobe, opened the door for Alvy. Alvy had the distinct impression that Mr. Hemsley did not like her, though she couldn't fathom why. Perhaps she took so many meals out in the preliminary, and that made him go out of his way. Or perhaps it was simply because she wore slacks. That seemed like such a silly reason to dislike a person. But no one looked at her legs as much as Mr. Hemsley did, so it was a viable option. All the same, with the weather starting to cool, she preferred slacks to skirts more than ever. Alvy's mind couldn't stay on Mr. Hemsley, however, nor on the magicked path shifting about her feet as she followed the butler to the house. Her thoughts bounced between Bennett Cooper and his reason for being here. Bennett Cooper and his poor sister in the hospital. Bennett Cooper and his sunshine hair and smiling eyes. She adjusted her glasses as Mr. Hemsley led her to a set of stairs. "Where is he?" she asked.
"The sitting room. That is where we receive guests."
Oh. She vaguely recalled where it was. A room just for sitting seemed excessive. Then again, Briar Hall was excessive. The butler stopped at a door and opened it, then kept it open with the heel of his foot. Alvy started to follow after him, only to have herself announced. "Miss Breckenmarker." Mr. Hemsley gave her a hard glance. Was she supposed to wait to be announced before coming in? She tripped over the toe of Mr. Hemsley's well-polished shoes, quickly straightened, pushed up her glasses. The sitting room had been on Alvy's tour, of course, but she hadn't returned to it since. Its walls were made of polished wood, carved into squares like some cherry checkerboard, except at the very top, where there was some enormous ivory-colored wainscoting, so elaborately carved Alvy couldn't tell what the designs were supposed to be. There were two fireplaces, two, and Indian-looking carpets beneath an array of furniture made for sitting, thus the name of the room. Bennett was indeed within the sitting room, and had selected a forest-green chair to sit in, though he stood when Alvy entered. Had he seen her trip? Probably. The door shut behind her, giving her a start. Mr. Hemsley had departed. The sitting room suddenly looked rather large. Hi, she said, tucking waves of hair behind her ears. The locks popped back out again. Any space behind her ears was taken up by the arms of her glasses. Her heart beat a little too fast, and she tried to shush it, but her body didn't obey her the way plastic or machines did. Bother. "Forgive me for not writing ahead," he said, wringing the edge of a hat in his hands. She'd never seen him wear a hat. Why would someone with hair as cheerful as his ever want to cover it with a hat? She almost said as much, but Bennett continued. "I knew you studied under Praff, so it wasn't hard to find you, though I could have sent a bird. A male bird, he meant. Folders could fold paper into all sorts of creatures and send them off into the world. Complex spells, those male birds, but useless in bad weather. Oh, no, it's no trouble. To be honest, when she went to the hospital for her volunteer hours and Bennett wasn't there, she was disappointed. Not that Ethel wasn't pleasant company, quite the opposite. She was probably the best friend Alvy had in London so far, and they hardly knew each other. The thought made Alvy a little homesick. She'd left 20 years' worth of socializing behind her. Now she had to start anew without the excuse of school or neighborhood parties to prompt mingling. Bennett smiled. I'm glad. I mean, wouldn't it be a bother for you? It's out of the way. You must really like trains. Bennett laughed. I don't mind them, though I came in my mentor's auto. Really? Alvy perked up like a tulip in the morning sun. You drive? I do. She took several steps forward, closing the yawning gap between them. What sort of auto does he have? He owns a couple. I brought the Benz. A Benz! Alvy clapped her hands together. Really? Here? His hands loosened on his hat. Outside, yes. Her muscles grew antsy. Oh, Bennett, could I see it? Would you mind terribly? He grinned. Not at all. Lead the way. I'm not sure I remember how to get back to the drive. Alvy resisted jumping with glee and hurried from the sitting room, Bennett behind her. She found the stairs and took them down to the main hall. Does Magician Bailey have a large house? That was his name, right? She asked as they moved toward the vestibule. He does, yes. More modern in design, fewer servants. He's strange that way. Alvy glanced to his face. She liked his profile. Is he nice? Bennett snorted. He's very competent. That was an evasion if Alvy had ever heard one. She dropped the subject. Sure enough, a 1901 Benz sat out on the drive, beautifully framed by a background of yellowing autumn trees. It was white, with a covered engine and sleek fenders and a leather—no, that was cypered rubber—top that lay over the back like an accordion. A built-in spell would bring up the roof in case of rain. It boasted leather covers on the steering wheel and clutch. All the exposed metal was polished, even the spark and throttle lever rods. Alvy approached it slowly and touched the gaffer headlamps. This is the most beautiful automobile I've ever seen. Would you like a ride? I'd like to see the engine. She whirled around. May I see the engine? The engine was in the front rather than the back. Intriguing. He hesitated a moment. Sure. Alvy squealed. Bennett moved to lift the hood, but Alvy knew where the latch was and did it herself. A marvel of machinery winked back at her. The radiator was the smallest she'd ever seen in an automobile. It and the fan were pushed against the front, above the breather pipe and commutator. The pipes, the crankcases, the combustion chamber, they were all set up for optimum efficiency, and none of it was enchanted. Pure technology. She leaned over the radiator filler flange and pushed her hands into the engine, feeling for the carburetor. Don't take this the wrong way, she began, wiggling her hands free and finding footing on the ground. But I'd love to see this thing strewn out on the lawn. What? It's like a puzzle. Take it apart, put it back together. Ah, Bennett nodded. I understand the sentiment, though I have a feeling your expertise surpasses my own. You surprise me, Alvy. Oh dear, your hands. Alvy glanced down. Smears of black and brown covered her fingers and one of her wrists. She crouched and wiped them on the grass, just as Bennett fetched a handkerchief. Oh, sorry. She lifted her hands up, clean enough. That wasn't very ladylike of me. He laughed. I don't mind. But I would enjoy a drive, see how she works. Her thoughts spun with automobile organs. Her papa would be so jealous when she told him. Of course, though I did come here with a purpose, Alvy. She blinked, stepped away from the automobile as though it had transformed into a giant spider. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't even ask after that. You see, I don't have anything solid to show you for Ethel yet, but when we do, there will have to be a fitting, and I'll... You're kind to think of her, really. Bennett was wringing his hat again. He'd ruin it, doing that. But I'm not here on behalf of Ethel. You see, his neck reddened just a bit, which was funny since it was a cool day. The sky was more cloud than blue, as it often was in England. Well, I was wondering if you'd like to spend an afternoon at Green Park with me tomorrow. A picnic of sorts. I could even take you in this if you'd like. He gestured to the automobile, but Alvy's gaze was vacuum-formed to his face. She knew her mouth was gaping, but she couldn't seem to close it. Was Bennett Cooper asking her on a date? No one asked Alvy on dates. Boys didn't spend time with her unless they needed something fixed or help with schoolwork. Men only looked at her legs if they were disapproving her choice of clothing. Bennett shifted the hat behind his back. That is, only if you'd like. I'm being forward, I know, and I understand if you prefer to keep this, well, on a more acquaintance level. Oh, no. Yes to the park, and no to the acquaintance level. Her words spilled out like overcooked noodles. I would really like to go to the park, with you, and the Bens, but not just because of the Bens. Bennett laughed, his shoulders relaxed, and the hat reappeared. Well, that's a relief. I can stop by at 3 o'clock. Alvy locked her now jittery fingers together. Oh, I have a lesson at 3, but I could cancel it. Bennett raised a hand to stop her. I don't want to interrupt your studies. What about your studies? He laughed. Magician Bailey schedules my studies out a month in advance. I know exactly when I'll have free time. It's mostly review right now. Oh, because you're testing soon. Or so I hope. He smiled. How about we make it an evening venture? 6? A grin pulled on Alvy's lips. Yes, that sounds perfect. Bennett put his cap back on. Do you still want to ride? Oh, yes! She scrambled for the automobile. It was wide enough for 2 in the front and had a second set of seats in the back. She itched for the driver's seat, but perhaps it was better, and politer, to let Bennett demonstrate first. He cranked the automobile and released the brake before getting in, then pulled levers and pushed pedals to start the engine. Alvy imagined all the parts working together, the oil and fuel pumping through, the carburetor mixing in the... That was it? A pump. Air or liquid, but it would move the fingers, wouldn't it? Was there a spell that would work like a pump, or a carburetor to add function to the prosthesis? Make it more like a real hand. Here we... Wait! Bennett pushed down the brake pedal and looked at her. I just had a wild idea. She leapt up from the seat. I have to go. But it's for Ethel. I believe I know how to make her hand work. Tomorrow at 6, yes? His features softened. Yes, and you'll have to tell me what's got you so excited. I will, but I have to figure it out. Diagram, but Magician Praff... He chuckled. Go, Alvy. She waved her thanks with both hands and leapt from the automobile, running through the main hall toward the plenary. She needed to research her idea before presenting it to Magician Praff, but if it could work, they would be one big step closer to helping Ethel, and that much closer to prevailing at the Discovery Convention.